Gemara we're up to right now is actually a middle of Lamed Zayin on Aleph. Rabbi Meir Omer Afiyu B'Mashicha. Rabbi Meir again argued with Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to use only one of the Dalaminim because Lulav Tzarech Eged. Rabbi Meir holds you can even use a thin string rope exactly because he holds Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged. And therefore, you don't, it's, when you put the Eged around, it doesn't have to be one of the Dalaminim because it's not part of Lulav Nesrik set. We do Paskin, the Rabbanan said you should do it, but not mitam Lulav Tzarech Eged, mitam Zekeli Mandeu. Tanya Amri Meir. Maisa be'akir Yerushalayim. There's a story that happened with the precious, the holy, the nichbadim, says Rashi, the nichbadei Yerushalayim Ashirim, the wealthy, respected members of Yerushalayim. She ogden es lulaveim be'begmonios shalzav. They would bind their lulav together with these golden, we mentioned golden threads. Amrulo. So the tzibur said, Rabbi Meir, Misham Raya, that you want to bring a proof from? What you didn't see was you didn't notice, but in the bottom of the lulav they actually use the real one of the dalaminim. Maybe only the sieve is ridiculous, but they use one of the minim, and what you had on top was not the shame eged, it was the shame beauty, and therefore the Rabbi Yehuda side, who said lulav tzarech eged has to be b'mino, will argue you can't prove to me that what the Yakira Yerushalayim did proves against Rabbi Yehuda. You didn't notice it was on the bottom. You didn't notice it. Yeah.
Didn't we see that just a couple of minutes ago before also?
We saw that.
Yeah. That was another quote from the Mishnah.
The Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it says Tanya, which suggests that it's a price of, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's the Yakira Yerushalayim. The Anshi Yerushalayim, the Yakira
Yerushalayim.
Is the Yakira Yerushalayim. Yeah, that part also is different. That's true. It's quoting a Tosefta here. According to the Gifton, it's quoting Tosefta. It's a very similar story, but it's quoting Tosefta, not the Mishnah. Next part. Rabba said to those who are Megadli Hoshana, according to Rashi, Megadli Hoshana refers to the whole Lulav and Esrog set. Lulav set, that's what the Hoshana means. But why am I saying that? Because Megadli means those who, not who grow them, but who put them together. People who put together the Hoshana, which means the set of the Lulav for the Bei Reish Galusa. Kigadlisu Hoshana, the Bei Reish Galusa. When you put together the Lulav and Esrog set from the Bei Reish Galusa, Shari Bei Beis Yad. Leave a handle on the bottom, meaning leave, put the Eged a handle's amount above. Don't let there be a handle.
Do we skip anything or I just spaced out
maybe? No? Kihechi de lo zahavi chatzitza. We miss you, Shimon. So it should not be a chatzitza, meaning as T pointed out, it shouldn't be holding the area where the binding is. That means you're holding the binding, you're not holding the actual lulav. In order for you properly to be holding the lulav and esrog set, you shouldn't hold anything other than the lulav itself. So therefore, they tell the people put together the lulav and esrog set, lulav and asim revelus. When they bind them together, put the binding a tefach amount above the bottom, so that the people can hold the bottom lulav and hold it directly to lulav, and not be holding the egged part. Because the assumption right now, as the Tzvi said, the egged would be a chatzitza. Well, it's some kapsel you didn't remember. Just remember that you saw it there. One second, Rava's argument is no. Kolin also ain't a chotzitz. Whatever is put there for noy, and if you remember again, according to everyone but Rabbi Yehuda, the egged is a noy. By definition, the fact that it's a noy means that it's really secondary to the actual lulav and esrog set. It's secondary. It's there to serve the lulav and esrog set. It could be according to Rabbi Yehuda, it might be a problem actually. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the egged is not a noy. The egged is actually required. If I hold the Eged, maybe it's a bigger problem according to Rabbi Yehuda than according to Rabbi Meir. But since Rabbi Meir holds that the Eged is only there as a Rabbana holds mitam noy to beautify the whole entire bundle. So anything that's there to beautify means it's serving the other thing. It's kind of there to help the whole set. And therefore it becomes batel, as Rashi points out, to the set. And if I hold it from there, it's considered holding the set as well. Yeah.
So this Eged, first of all, if it's one of the Arba Minim, we shouldn't even have a question as to whether it's a chatzitza.
Well, the Gemara will discuss if it's one of the minim, but it's not serving as the min. It's not serving as the min. It's serving as an egged for the dal minim. So there's a thought that if I, let's say I put something else, let's say I wrap my hand, put my hands in. We'll see very soon whether you're right or not. Some say you're right, that mimino in a chotzeit. If it's the same exact min, it's not a problem. But not everyone says that.
Either you hold that it's for noi, or you hold it's for part and parcel, part of the mitzvah.
But it could be if it's part of the mitzvah, and I'm holding that part of the mitzvah, that's required for me to do to hold the lulav together, the chiyuv. But it's not the lulav. It's not the lulav. It's something that is holding the lulav together. The egget itself, what's the proof for that? How can you prove to me that the egget is not the part of the lulav? What's the proof? Based on something we've seen already, or maybe we haven't seen it yet, but we've seen it for sure before last time we went through. What's the proof that the egget itself is not really midin of the lulav? So we did something called different called the egget. I'm asking it poorly, but true, true. Beyond that, how do we know that now that you have the right one, that right one is not even considered part of lulav and esrog mitzvah? It's something different called the egged. I'm not asking it well, but
not from lulav.
What's that?
Not
based on the noise sukkah. What's the din? How do you hold the dal minim? Kederach briyaso, how it grows, right? Now we know that when you wrap around the egg, that's not how it grows. No one holds that's how it grows, right? It doesn't grow sideways, it grows up. If you hold the wrong way, you're not yotzei the mitzvah even. Which means that when you put the egg on it, it's not the lulav or esrog, it's not part of that. It's something separate from that. Now you have to use it, because an egg is required, but it's not, the fact that you don't hold it upright like everything else is because it's not serving the lulav and esrog like lulav and esrog do. It's there to bind lulav and esrog. According to Yehuda, since it's required to have it, but it's not really the upright position, kederach briyaso, so you could argue and say, according to Yehuda, he's even more machmir. That if you held the, even though the egged is more intrinsic necessary, it'd be a bigger problem to hold it from the egged. Why? Because it's intrinsically necessary. It's not mevatel to the rest of the set. And it's not considered holding the lulav and esrog, because lulav and esrog have to be that way. The fact that this can be horizontal means it's not really functioning.
It's a separate
entity, and it's required, so it's not buttled to it. So if I held it from there, according to Yehuda, maybe we'd say it'd be a problem. But since we paskin, lulav ein tzarich egged, that's where Meir holds. And if you therefore the egged there only to serve as beautifying and making nicer the lulav and esrog set, therefore it takes a back seat to the entire lulav esrog set. And if I held it from that part, it's like it's a wingman. The wingman is not going to get in the way of the actual mitzvah. Hold from the wingman, there's no problem at all.
Then I would ask, if it's just there for beautifying the mitzvah,
yeah,
why does it have to be one of the
other? Rav Meir wouldn't have to be. Rav Meir wouldn't hold it, has to be. We hold, Rav Meir, who do I would have to be? But Rav Meir wouldn't have to be. That's why you can even hold Gmoni shows up. That's why they have the golden threads. He felt as a proof for him. Okay, yeah.
If I may.
You always may.
Megale Hoshana. Amar lo Rava lehanu Megale Hoshana de Beresh Galusa.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he only specifying them? Meaning, not for everybody?
I'm assuming it would be for everybody. But I'm assuming maybe most people.
Yeah.
Maybe most people.
What if everybody? Because he told it by the sellers of the Hoshanas. When you're selling the Hoshanas, he didn't say you're selling Hoshanas for Reish Galusa. Why are we specifying this? Whatever, I don't know.
That's a fair question. I mean, maybe just to educate, you know, the... I don't know why it should be anybody. It should be anybody, everybody. It could be the Marsha. I would ask a question like that. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I'm sure someone among the Achronim, I don't think it's a Rishon question as much as an Achron question, but I'm sure one of the Achronim would make a Ha'ara and point something out as to why Davka singled them out.
They are binding so many. I got lazy on the job.
Maybe.
Amaluhu Rabhuna Lahanhu Avantari, meaning the merchant. That's what's selling.
No, but the thing what he's saying is that they hold in their hands, they pass through their hands many of these things, and therefore they're giving them the warning because they're going to oversee maybe thousands of hadassim that go their way. They want to give them all. You know, they're the ones who are going to see most. They should know how to handle them properly. So these people who are upsetting for the Reish Galusa could be they had tens or hundreds of people that they were making for. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I'm sure that some of the Achronim pointed out. I don't never saw inside, but I'm sure people pointed out. It's a fair. It's an interesting ha'ara. Okay. Vamar Rabba. Rabba says further. The linkit inish hoshana besudra. The ba'inan l'kicha tam avaleka. A person should not hold the Hoshana, which means, again, the whole lulav and esrog set, while he's holding a cloth, a handkerchief in his hands. Like, you shouldn't wrap it around. You don't want to get, you know, sticky. You don't want to get smelly. You want to put your gloves on. You want to put some... Don't do that. Why? You should hold the lulav itself with your hand to the actual flesh of the tree, of the bar, of the leaves. Why? Deba'inan l'kicha tama b'lecha. It requires a complete l'kicha. L'kach them lachem. L'kicha tama. It requires a whole l'kicha, a direct l'kicha b'lecha. And you're lacking that. When you hold it with something else between you, a cloth between you and the thing you're, and the thing you're holding, that's considered a chatzitza. Rav Amar, it's not a problem. What's that?
This is the same halacha that Rav said before.
Rav Amar, l'kicha de daracher, shma l'kicha. Even if I hold something else to the lulav and etrog, that's still considered a holding. Which part was something? Which part? Rabba. It's definitely according to Rabba. According to Rabba, yeah, but Rava earlier on was the one who said no chatzitza. That was Rava, right?
I'm just saying, is this. Isn't it the same thing?
No, because you could have argued that this is. I think the chiddush over here is Rava is the chiddush over here. For sure, according to Rabba, if I couldn't hold it from the actual egg yet, Kavachom, I shouldn't hold something else between it. But according to Rava, you could have said, like we said earlier on, maybe at least if it's part of the lumina, you know, we had a discussion earlier on, something being butel, something is butel to.
So the Kiddush here is in Rava. That's what I would think.
Yeah, I mean, didn't we also just recently have a Kikatama from someone?
Lukachtem.
I think that's
Ma'akev, each one of them, I think. If anyone's missing, you're not able to see any of them. That's the parish. You don't should bring a re, you know, if you're missing any one of the four, you're not yotze any of them. I think that's the lichicha time we had. Here it's over here. It's in daf lamadal on the base. Shema akman zedze tamulamur lekachtem shei lichicha tama lamadal on the base. Okay. Last time about this one, about the one coming up.
Where do we have it recently?
Lichicha tama.
Still don't
know. Now we're going to improve. How do we know? What's Rava's story? I mean, it's really a good question. Why should l'kicha al yedav acher be a good l'kicha? There seems to be a real hefsek there. Shimon said earlier on, if you have bimbamino, maybe it shouldn't count. But this is a cloth. Why should l'kicha prove to me that l'kicha al yedav acher is really l'kicha? So it's the Gemara. Amar Rava mino, amin Allah. L'kicha al acher shmal. How do I know? Why am I saying that l'kicha al yedav acher is in fact considered a real l'kicha? Time we learn a Mishnah, Ezov Katsar, Misapko Bechut, Ubechush, Betovel, Umala, the Ochez, Beezov, Umaza. Which means you have a short hyssop branch. You know, the Ezov was used, the guy we mentioned earlier on, the Ezov was used to dip into the Mayim Chaim and the Paraduma ashes, and you would take it, and then you would sprinkle onto someone who was Tameh or a Klee that was Tameh. If it was short and you couldn't reach the bottom of the actual cylinder where the stone Klee where the water was found in, where you could put the ashes into, so misapko b'chut u'b'chush, you should make it sufficient. You should lengthen it with a string or with some sort of a chush, which is a device of a weaving. What did it call? A needle? I don't know what you called it last time. But
what? I have straw here.
Straw. I have straw. So it's some sort of an extension to the actual branch, and then you hold on to that thing. You lower the branch. V'tovel, you now dip it into the waters. Umala, you bring it up and you take off that extension. V'ochez be'ezov, you hold the actual ezov according to Rashi. Why hold the ezov? Why have to take it off? Because you don't really have to, but if you didn't, it would give you less control. When you're sprinkling over here with something else, it would be flying everywhere. You want to make sure you kind of have more control over the actual branch. So you hold it by the branch itself, umaz, and sprinkle. Versus amai, why should that be okay? After all, it says, v'lakach v'taval. It says, take the branch and dip the branch. You're not taking the branch now. You're taking the string or the straw and dipping the branch. That's not called v'lakach, is it? It shouldn't be. Doesn't seem to be. So if we're going to say this called v'lakach, what do you see? Sorry, but lakach v'tavalam rachmana. And this is not v'lakach. You know, hold something else. Hold attached to it. Elilav, rather no. Shema mina, come to teach us. L'kicha yedav acher, shema l'kicha. Oh, we think we proved it right now. We see now that if you hold on to something else as an extension to the branch, and the branch goes into the water itself, it's considered l'kach. It's considered holding on to the actual branch. Why? Because l'kicha yedav acher, shema l'kicha. Gemara says, very nice, but we have a kasha with that still. Yeah, what's the question?
I mean, isn't main part of the ezov is the sprinkling of the water?
Well, yeah, but the pasuk says, v'lakach v'taval. The Torah demands a lakicha to dip it. V'lakach v'taval.
V'lakach ezov v'taval b'mayim.
So therefore, you're not taking the ezov anymore. unless you hold l'kicha, he did it for acher, it's considered l'kicha. Gemara says it's a nice argument, but it's not going to be enough for us. Why? Because I can distinguish. Mimai, from where do you say, from how do you know this is really a good proof that I can wear gloves when I do a lulav esrog? That I can use my cloth to wrap it around the lulav esrog if I want to. Dilma, shiny hasam, maybe it's different in the case of the ezov. Kevin de chavre, kegufei dami, since it's attached. Then it's like the actual, again, like we said beforehand, if I attach this to the actual branch, then this is the tufel to the branch. It's like I'm holding the branch itself. But if I have a separate entity, that it's not attached, I wrapped it around my hands and held a little nester with that, that's not considered attached to the branch. I'm holding it through the sudar. But it's not part, no one will argue it's part of that.
Less.
And therefore it's less.
Why is that less?
Because if
you
I have
a thing around, you're not only holding on to the shmata, but you're also holding on to the lulav directly.
Okay, good. So she's saying over here that I actually can feel my hands at least, yeah, the actual item, which is true. But I would say to you, and as Shimon said earlier on, if I'm holding something right now that has its own independent identity, then there's more reason to suggest that it's a chatzitza. Something that's attached to something else. So there's one big thing you're looking at. It's like ikar v'tefil and food. They're all together, so what's the main part? Main part is the branch. But if it's two separate entities and I'm holding on to one, it never becomes batel through the other one. We had earlier on this idea of batel as the top of an amun aleph, very top of an aleph, I forget what it was, but a discussion we had earlier on of something that has, it had to do with the kli. We made a kli, it was the first pair. It was a kli, it was the yados, I think. Yadal. But I don't remember where, it was a top of amun aleph for sure. I thought there was a line that since it's not going to be, it's not going to be batel.
Oh, no, that's with the kaf. That's with the,
very good,
with the chalon.
Excellent, very good. Yeah, Arik knows that. That's the second paragraph, no? You know where there's Arik.
The Margoliot, the Chama, and then he got upset. And he got,
yeah, where's that?
Rabbi Elazar. And he said, she should have given his answer.
Yeah, it's Chav Chesim Aleph. Look, Lashon is over here. Hasim to Mevatil. Avahach lo Mevatil lo. Here is saying, Shimon, and see? If you're mevatel this thing to the window, then it's ignored, and you can then it's part of the building. But if it's not mevatel, then it actually is a separate extension. So here, if you detach something to something else, then you could argue maybe it's mevatel. But if it's independently standing, it's not really. That's what we had the case. If it's not attached to the wall, it's hanging resting. When you put it there, it was independent. It was an independent thing that you're adding on right now. If it's independent, it's more of a problem. So if it's not attached to it, it's more of a problem. Potentially to suggest that it would be just ignored and butthole. So now the fact that we said you can extend the branch by attaching them to the branch does not necessarily mean I can hold the glove or I can hold the sudar and hold the little nesrog set to it. So I'm still back to my question again.
What's the mean? Why?
How do we know that I can use the case of the extended azov and apply that to my sudar for the lulav?
Because over there it's like it's one unit.
Yeah, exactly. So I still need a proof that a lekicha al yidavar acher that's not attached to it, like our sudar, is still called the lekicha. So elamei halacha, I got one for you. What's the case? Nafal mishloach feres l'shokas. L'shokas, puzzle. A little background information. The way it worked back in the day, again, was you would have this mayim chaim. You'd have this in a stone vessel would be the holy waters. And you had separately the ashes that were in like a tube, the ashes of paraduma. You would first put the water into the oven, and you would pour the ashes into that bowl. That's what you would do. Now, well, when you made the paraduma mixture, in order to take the ashes and the mayim chaim, you had a bowl of Evan that had the mayim chaim, that had the holy waters, the fresh waters. You would then take this flask, a cylinder with paraduma ashes in it, and you would pour the ashes into the bowl. That would make the mixture that you would use to sprinkle on the people. That's what would happen. Now, it says over here, nafal mishvo feres l'shokas. But let's say what happened was it fell. I didn't mean to, but it fell. My hand slipped. And all of a sudden, falls the ashes out of my flask, and it falls into the shokas, which is the kli evan, the stone vessel that was holding the mayim chaim. It fell inside of it. Gemara says puzzle. It doesn't count. Why not? Because it requires you to place it there. It requires you to v'nasan alav. You have to put it there. And if you didn't put it there, what's the lush on the pasuk? Look inside. 1 second. Next page has it. You have to take from the afar. Here it's not called taking. You have to place it there. And here you tripped. you slipped and you tripped on that top lamed zayin base, that implies that if it was an accident, it doesn't work. Ha-ha-pilu, hu kosher. But if you would actually pour it out into it, it would be kosher. One second. V'amai, why is it kosher? V'lachu v'nasan amrachmana. It says to take and to put. You didn't touch the actual ashes. You took something else and you poured the ashes with it. That shouldn't be allowed. That's a lekicha, lakach, al yidav ra'achir. To take it and to pour from the vessel into the shulkes, very nice that it worked, that it was intentional. But it shouldn't be allowed, it shouldn't be kosher, it's not v'lachu, is it? No, we see over here, if you take something by holding something else, and you put with that something else, you hold that other thing, like over here, if I take the flask and I pour it out, it's considered v'lachu, taking the ashes and putting it into the bowl. But I didn't touch the ashes at all. So you see, l'kicha, acher, shema l'kicha. And it wasn't attached together. It wasn't attached. So based upon that, the sudar and lulav case also, we say the same thing. L'kicha, acher, shema l'kicha. It's considered l'kicha. Therefore, it would be kosher, it would be allowed. But Marabba, we're still going weiter in this whole topic of what's considered chatzitza. Lo ladutz inish lulava bohoshana. A person should not...
The
Beresh Gulusa. Yeah, I'm a cobble your question originally. I hear you. I hear no. I appreciate it. Your question. I agree with the first question. Why are we sitting on the Beresh Gulusa? It's a fair question.
Rabba also. It's the same
Rabba. Yeah, Rabba's going through the list of things. Be careful when making Lulav and Esrog. Be careful, and that's why I only mentioned last time Beresh Gulusa. I don't know, but he's giving you all the do's and don'ts about making your set of Lulav and Hadassim and Rabos, and of course Esrogim as well. Do not jab in. Do not stick in. Insert. Do not insert your lulav into the hoshana, into the set when it's already tied. Why? Because by doing so, what are you going to do? You're going to, by pushing it in, you're going to end up pulling out leaves. The dilma nasri tarfi, maybe the leaves, tarfi, nasri, will fall off. Vali chatzitza, now we're creating chatzitza. What happens? We have these loose floating leaves that are in the middle of your bundle, and that would separate each of the meaning from each other. And this is what Shimon said before. Rav Amar says, no problem. Why? Mimbemino enochotitz. To have a hadas leave separating hadas and rabbah, that's not considered chatzitza. That's all part of the. It's true, it's not attached, but it's ignore. It's, you know, it's you could ignore it right now on top of lamas adam base. You could ignore it because it's mimimino, and therefore it will be a no chotitz. It's not a problem at all. That's seven lines down from the top of lamas adam base. What's the question?
He's only worried about that, and not worried about if the leaves are being detached. Then you have a problem of a puzzle.
Oh, so again, so we know already. If you remember, we had earlier on in the Gemara. If you have majority of leaves fall off, depends on what it is, but right, you have to still have, of course, you have to still have all the required rules that are in place still. Exactly.
That was your
matzah. That was the asa mitzvah. Exactly. The seven leafed hadassim. Vamaraba. Hadashal mitzvah asul ariach bo.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, sorry. Vamaraba. Lo ligos inish. Sorry. Vamaraba. Five lines down.
Six
lines down. I'm a rabbi. The legos inish lava boshana. You should not cut. Legos is the cut. You should not cut your lulav in the oshana. How many times do we have legos? Where are the other legos that we had? You don't remember? Where's the legos that we had earlier?
Cut?
Yeah.
Legos?
Or gazze. Legos. Same.
That's not the Ambankri?
It is a Mikri. That's one of them for sure. Do we have it also? I think we had it also. I'll just check if it's right. Confirm it.
Yeah, I don't
think lesson. I don't think the lesson I was thinking was not. It's not. Doesn't say Ligzos where I thought it was.
What? I mean, what area do you think?
That was in Dav Yudal. That was under cutting when they cut the tzitzis. They put this on wrong and they cut it. The whole idea of Kisyasin Zuyasiyasin. But I don't see it over here. It's a different lesson. Okay. I guess it was just the one of the Avankri.
Is it within the Avankri though?
Yeah, for sure. That for sure. It was left Lamed. The bottom. He's a vintu. Lo tzigzuzu asun el ligzuza inhu.
What's the lashon?
Tzigzuzu ligzuza.
Oh,
Lama Ramalaf and Daf Lama Beis again. Gazu of Einkri. Okay, anyways. Says the Gemara, do not cut the lulav. If the lulav is very, very long, you want to cut the bottom of it off. Don't cut it while it's still in the branch, in the binding. The mishtari hotza, that the leaves will remain in, because since it's bundled, when you cut it, even though it's detached, it's still going to be stuck as part of the whole entire bundle. And once again, it's going to be interrupting. It's not part of the lulav anymore. It's separate, interrupting everything else. And therefore, it should be a problem with the chatzitza. Rava once again comes and says, l'shitaso, min b'mino, in a chotitz. That too would not be a problem. From a rabba, hadash of mitzvah, asul ariechbo. A hadash of a mitzvah, you should not smell it. Esrog shal mitzvah, mutzal ariechbo. An esrog, you're allowed to smell it. My time of wise, an esrog, you're allowed to smell, hadash, not allowed to smell. Hadash de l'recha kai, since a hadash was usually made for the purpose of smell, what beauty was a smell, ki akse, when you set it aside, I mean, you say, I'm using it for a mitzvah, you're saying a mitzvah, and not Merecha akse. I'm setting aside from the smell, which is usually what I use it for. One more time. Hadas, dilarecha kai. A hadas that usually is there to be smelled. That's the beauty of the hadas. That's what it's a natural usage is to smell it. So with ki akse, when I set it aside and say, no, it's a special hadas. It's a mitzvah hadas for me. Special hadas. When I set aside for the mitzvah, what I'm doing, I'm setting aside from using the way I usually do, which is merecha akse. I'm setting aside from the smell, which I usually use it for. And therefore, what I've done is I've set it aside from smelling it, and there, if I smell it now, that would be considered a violation of it. The Rashi quotes over here, the Gemara of Testament Aleph, that we compare the Sukkah to Chagiga, it sanctifies L'Shem Shemayim now, so too, when you set aside Lulav and Esrog, Adas and Rebos, you're making a Chagiga, you're making a kosher as a Chashem Chagiga, and whatever you normally use it for your own purposes, you can't use it for right now.
You can say
Dvar Torah. I'll tape it, I'll put it on, yeah. So that is the. I like the question though. You like that question? Yes. Yeah, but you like that. You like.
I didn't
you liked it. You liked. Anyways, since again the purpose of the hadas was usually to smell it, so now we're saying that davka for smelling is what you're not doing when you have it in your set. So therefore, you can't smell it. But an esrog de la achilakai, an esrog which is there to be eaten. That's a normal part, use of an esrog is to make jam out of it or to eat it. So kiakse, when you set it aside, me achilakse, you set it aside from eating it. You're using it for the mitzvah and not from eating it, but smelling it, that would be permitted. And in the topic of smelling these items, your question or no?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not fine. My timer.
What's the reason why for a hadas you can't smell, but for an esrog you can't smell?
Esrog you can. My timer is a hadas, glorete koi.
What does kiakse mean? What does that line mean?
When you designate it.
Good. What I designate it to use now as a mitzvah item means I'm saying it not the usual usage anymore. It's special for mitzvahs. What's the usual usage of it? Well, hadas usually is used. It's a smell. That's what usually hadas are used. So I'm saying, don't use it the normal way. It's special for a lulav and esrog set. So use it the normal way means don't smell it during the chag. That would be considered using it for the normal way, which we designated to be used in a special way, not the normal way. And therefore, if you use it the normal way, that'll be a problem. When it comes though to an esrog, that's not the way you know. You don't usually smell esrog. That's not what it's there for, to smell, it's there to eat. So when you say don't use it the normal way, it means don't eat it. Smelling it, that would still be allowed. You designate it from its normal purpose to use it for a purpose that you want to invent, right? You want to use it right now for. Okay? Finish up right now, last part. V'amar Rabba. Rabba says further, Hadas b'mechubar mutal ariechbo. A hadas that is connected, it's attached to the ground still, or attached to the tree still, I should say. It's nothing to do with sukkah, it's in general, on Shabbos, let's say. A hadas that's connected to a tree on Shabbos, you're allowed to smell it. An esro b'mechubar, also, you can't smell it. Now, why were machmir by esrog smelling now, and a hadas smelling were mekil when it came to the chag of sukkahs? It was the reverse. So, my time, that's the reason why. Hadas de la reach kai, since hadas is there to be smelled, we said earlier on, it's very smelled. So, on a regular Shabbos, ishavisle, if you allow a person to smell it while it's still attached, the loss is a mikzeh. He's not going to come to cut it. Why? Because he's able to get its full usage while it's attached. It doesn't detach it. But esrog, the achilakai, but an esrog which is there to be eaten, if you give him a little smell, a little excitement, ishavisle, if you permit him to smell it, us the mikzeh, he's going to then come to the end of cutting it. Why? Because he wants to eat it. That's what it's there for. If you entice him by smelling it, he doesn't want to eat it in the end. And finally, if I'm a rabba, lulav b'min b'yamin b'esrog b'smol, hold lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, that's what we do. My time of why, honey, tlas mitzvah, v'haychad mitzvah, because the lulav has three parts of the mitzvah to it, and the esrog has one part to it. So we know the yamin is more chashiv. Give the yamin the respect it deserves, hold in the right hand. My talam of archi and el alantilas lulav. Why do I use the lashon in the magirus of a nusach of the bracha? Isn't alantilas lulav? Why not alantilas hadas, araba, esrog? Hova gavol mikulan. Since it's the highest, the tallest of all of them, you name the bracha out of it. Why don't I then say, you know what, but lift the esrog like this, hold this out like this, lulav in this hand, the esrog like this, hold it up, make it the tallest one, and then it gets the bracha. The Gemara, doesn't mean it's the tallest when you're holding it. It means that its min is the tallest. If you put it on the ground and you pick, you let them stand up, the lulav is the tallest, not that it's the highest one in your set, but it means it's the tallest one when it grows in general. It's the more chashuv one, therefore we get the bracha of al natilas lulav. Stop over here.